Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Hello and welcome to the After Things podcast. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Brian Brushwood.
Hello, beautiful people.
Justin Robert Young.
Hello, friends.
Mr. Bryce Castillo.
Hello.
I didn't actually call you because you were drinking, Brian. I just said, I should do Brian's name in rotation. And
I made sure to take a tiny sip. And what's funny is on the second one, I expected you to give a second. And also Brian Brushwood.
Let's take a look inside Brian's brain maybe about a week ago. You're going to fail. Everything sucks. It's not going to work.
Man, this is eerie. I feel like you have an implant in my brain.
You've come all this way just so more people can watch you implode. Finally, such a gigantic mess that not even your best friends will be able to forgive you.
Yeah, man.
Pretty accurate?
Yeah, pretty much. We reached, like we talked about last week, we're right at the cusp. As a matter of fact, we didn't talk about it on the show, but this is the last broadcast of the Weird Things program and the After Things program from this studio. From this studio, which has existed, what started as a spare bedroom and has for 11 years been an ad hoc studio, is going to be replaced with an actual proper studio. And in building everything, you know, we were able to cash flow 90% of the story, but then we got to the end and all of the final bills came due at the end. And it's like, okay, it's time to press that public funding option. And I was really worried about how it would go. And it's been a fascinating 10 days or so, because at first we just put out kind of to the email list, hey, we need just that last 10%. If you've enjoyed this stuff, if you want to support us, here's some different tiers, here's some rewards. And then we put out a video on the Modern Rogue channel, which got a little bit more attention. We're looking at it now for the video watchers, that sort of emphasized primarily just how much we've been able to accomplish over the last year, and then reminded people like, this last 10%, boy, we could really use some help. And then it was astonishing because we got halfway to our funding goal in the first like 5 or 6 days, which is remarkable. These are all people who, with very little expectation of a reward for themselves, are like, yeah, I want to see you keep on trying and going harder and farther. And at which point we said, we sent out a new email saying, whoa, this is remarkable. People have suggested that we come up with more tiers. So we came up with middle tiers, like at $100, you could get an individually numbered challenge coin that you could flash. The biggest thing was coming up with a name for what we're doing, because we said, oh, we're trying to complete phase one of construction, which there's no poetry to that. Nobody is clamoring to be a member of that club. But instead, we realized, oh, wait, no, this is remarkable. This is a founders club. This is the beginning of something, and there's only going to be one group of people who are there at the beginning. And so we also added like a $250 tier where you could get your name on a brass plate on one of 50 trees up at the front of the property, so that when you do visit, you could come visit your tree. And then we got to the last phase, which strangely has been the most successful. Yesterday, we put out an email and a video saying, okay, we are 98% complete. What say we commemorate all this with a big old brass plate that all of our names are going to go on? So now, if you want your name on this brass plate that's going to live here at the property forever, then we're sending you a piece of the property, this is a piece of you that gets to live on our property. And it's remarkable because that's been the biggest response yet. And I didn't intend for us to do it this way, but I think it ended up being a smart strategy, because we started focused on our mission and what we needed. And then each successive button push has increasingly been about the tangible benefits to the people at home, you know, appealing to, you know, actual physical, you know, having a coin or having your name on the property or all that stuff. So it seems to have worked really well. And as of today, literally today, we finally have breathing room, and there's not any big, scary, looming financial dragons. And as a result, this week, we're going to start moving into the new production facility and building everything out.
So here's a question, just because I don't know if we've talked about it. You've mentioned that we're like, what, 98% to the goal? Goal right now.
That's what the email yesterday said, and then the last 24 hours happened.
Ah, gotcha.
So we're kind of funded at this point.
But it, like comparing this to like a very traditional like Kickstarter, right? You would have a very public goal number and amount and time. So what's when does this wrap up, or what's the next part of this?
That's the good that's a really good question. So at this point, and obviously all of this is going, I mean, there's still so much more that needs to be done, right? Everything goes to construction of building out the stuff, because now that we're actually able to functionally move in there, there's no shortage of things that desperately need to be fixed and built. So and also, like, in one reality, we could just right now say, well, we're funded. Thanks. Bye. Peace out. But I feel like we would be doing a disservice to all of our fans who were like, well, I wanted to be part of that. I wanted my name on a plaque or whatever. I wanted to be part of the
secret club. Oh, sure. Oh, no one's suggesting that. Well, we don't have, like, right now there's no deadline date on anything that's gone out yet.
Exactly. So that's the question that we have to wrestle with, is like, what does the greatest service to the greatest number of people? Because obviously, if all you cared about was money, then you would just perpetually, constantly be taking money forever and ever and ever. But right. We're not interested in that. But so it feels like what we want to do is creep up on a deadline and give lots of warning for, it's like, okay, this is when we're going to shut it down. And that's going to be it. That's going to be the Founders Club. Because we're right at just shy of 500 members of the Founders Club now. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a big, big brass plate with a lot of names on it. And I know there's a lot of names. Like on Friday, I was at Wizard Academy and I mentioned something about it. And there was a couple of fans who were like, wait, what is this? You're doing a thing? And for whatever reason, they just didn't see it. So I feel weirdly obligated to keep the door open long enough for everybody who wants to be in to get in.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that you are at the point now where, even if you say, hey, at the end of the month, right, or by October some date, like that, this is going to end. I think this is about the point where you set a runway that now creates urgency, but also just ties up the, like, hey, guess what? We won. So now if you just want to be part of the victory party, you have X amount of time to register.
Yeah, and I guess that's one of the weird things is, obviously this whole thing was born out of a timing issue and a bunch of bills coming due at the same time. But now that we have breathing room financially, now all of a sudden there's a new obligation that I feel, which is everybody who wants to be part of where we're at right now. Yeah. It's my obligation to make them, to give them the opportunity to be part of it.
Mm-hmm. So if you were to ballpark, I mean,
I would say,
are we talking weeks? Are we talking days? Yeah.
Oh, weeks. I would say certainly 1 week going forward. And then over the next couple of weeks, it's mainly a celebration of Holy Cow, we're funded. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if you want to be part of this, you know, this tribe, this collective, then you have the opportunity. So I would say maybe another week or 2 weeks, 2 weeks top. But
I would say, I mean, functionally, really, if we're really going to open the kimono on this, you need to wrap this up before you start another sales campaign.
Correct. Right? And that's the big thing. I either get to be saying, hey, who wants to give me free money and be part of a club? Or I get to say, who wants to buy the new deck of cards and cool puzzle box?
But it can't be Monday and Tuesday that those two things happen.
Exactly. So, yeah.
One needs to be wrapped up as loudly as possible, where everybody's happy and we all sing yub nub. Yep. And then there's a little buffer, and then you know, especially
if there's the ideal version of this would be that the fundraising would end, all of the people who got all of the fundraising stuff got finished before Black Friday. So going into Black Friday, there's all this goodwill. Now, I know probably a lot of the stuff is not totally feasible. But
Black Friday, we got some time. So let's say we wrap it up generously. Let's say 2 weeks from now, mm-hmm. and everything's done. That gives me a good 6 weeks, because what I want to do is, I mean, if I could, I would write individual emails to every single person expressing just how important what they did is. But at the very least, like, for anybody whose name's on a tree, I want to send them a photo of their tree. And mm-hmm. certainly we
have to send all the pieces.
All of the pieces of the property.
Got to make and send all the coins.
Exactly. Plus, if what I don't want to have happen is, because at the $500 tier, the benefit is a grab bag of some fun stuff from the store. And so I want to make sure that's in their hands by the time we get to Black Friday, so they know, okay, this is what I got from the store. This is what I still want from the store.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah. But I think we can make that happen.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's anything too crazy. I mean, the brass plate might be a bigger
deal. That's later, though. I mean, like, you don't really need to be on the hook for that until you have any kind of big event.
But at the very least, I can walk around with an iPhone and take a picture of, like, hey man, I picked out this tree for you. I hope you like it.
Sure.
And then take a picture.
For the tree people, yeah. I mean, you can be in communication and give them the endorphin rush on, like, hey, look, this is a cool thing.
Yeah.
So I've been looking through kind of the narrative that I see on scam stuff, you know, like the different, and it's interesting because you're using that as the site to sort of find the information out about it. And I'm wondering, like, I'm just trying to figure out, like, I was just trying to process this as far as figuring out, like, do you want to build, like, a dedicated site or just a section there that is, like, because you talked before about the idea of a narrative and the story behind something. And I'm wondering, like, you know, there's Wizard Academy has this, and I'm thinking, do you want, like, a dedicated blank? It's because it's part of everything, but it is its own enterprise onto itself now.
Well, and so if I'm following you correctly, the question is, like, do we want it to be a thing that is its own thing? And that's part of the narrative that we're doing is 90% of everything we were able to cash flow, and we're just at that last 10%. Everybody who's in, as far as I'm concerned, we're all responsible for this place being here, right? So that's why we're having the Founders Club plaque, and that's why, you know, we can put names on trees. But beyond that, that's about as much real estate as I want to put out there. Because, of course, as we continue to grow and develop, there might be a time that it's like, oh, you know what we should have is a whatever studio or an artist collective thing. And then that becomes a second project.
Yeah. I'm literally talking about drawing a circle around what this is right now. Like, I was thinking, because I'm looking here, I'm thinking, like, I want to find out more. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess I know to go to Scam Stuff, which is your store. And I figure, like, that's going to be where that, because we're talking about how other people, you told other people, oh, this is cool. I want to fund this. And, like, and that's the hard part we realize now is, like, we can talk to people in all these different channels, but if nobody's tuned in, they don't get the message. And I was just thinking, too, like, the idea of, is there something to the idea of a web page that is the name of the compound, it's this, because the other thing you could then do is that, hey, here's a list of events where if you want to get a ticket to come watch a recording, click here.
Yes, and that is, so, unfortunately, it's
a hub
just
web page, basically, for the property.
Well, and that is something that we have not cracked the code yet, because depending on what the community silo is, we've called it different things. When we're talking to Weird Things and Night Attack, we refer to the Diamond Club Studios. When we're on Mono Rogue, we call it the Mono Rogue World Headquarters. We haven't really figured out a name for it on Scam Nation, but what we desperately need, which unfortunately nothing but creative energy will yield for us, is some version of, we know that NBC Studios lives inside Rockefeller Center. We need some name like Rockefeller Center for what the place is, and we haven't cracked that yet. And until we crack it, it's hard to create that central hub of a website like you were talking about.
Well, let me try to bridge the gap a little bit, though, because Brian, you are very, very good at understanding the story from the perspective of the people that are participating. So from your perspective, Brian, you're like, oh my God, I'm so glad that all these strangers gave me money at a time where I desperately needed money because I'm building this, right? Like, this was a very needed cash injection from the community, which we've tried to not do, right? Like, you've had sales, but you've never out and out said, please give me money for, you know, me naming a tree after you, stuff like that. But from the people who are coming in and doing its perspective, now it's a little, I know you love the idea of like the Adventurers Club, right? Mm-hmm. Like at Disney, that now is there a place where beyond this right now, beyond, oh my God, I get to point my name out on a plaque, that you, are we our own core, right? Are all the founders now, is there a place to go to even like feel awesome together, or like Andrew pointed out, and maybe this is down the road where you figure out the name for everything, but it's like, are we special, and are we special beyond when this wraps up?
And that's the promise that I'm making, right? Is that theoretically 5 years from now, when we're all gathered for a rad party at an eclipse. Also, you kind of got me thinking when you mentioned the Adventurers Club, I wonder if like curiouscompound.com is around.
that sounds like something very different. Curious Compound.
Oh, no, well, that's right.
You're curious? Come on over to the Curious Compound.
Yeah, you're right.
We explore all kinds of curiosity.
Nothing's off limits at the Curious Compound. All right, maybe that's not the best.
I'm sending a link to Bryce, which I think should be your template. I'm sorry.
you're right, because what we're really doing is we're creating, and we would never call it this, because as Justin and I talked about last week on Night Attack, there's the story you present and the story that it really is. What it really is we're trying to create an artist collective, a place for talented individuals to collaborate.
You're not. I'm sorry. You're not. This is a collective, implies there's a bunch of people who own it and decide over it. Nothing ever gets done and it falls apart into decay. And then later on you go run for president, you know. This is your Lucasfilm.
Oh,
your Skywalker Ranch. Don't run from that.
Okay.
This is your project, Brian, with a great community of people supporting you. It's you.
That's correct. And you're right. I got to stop using that terminology.
I've always winced every time you say collective, because that's not what it really, I mean, it's a lot of, all of us are working together for this company.
Yeah.
But we don't have other outside groups or outside artists. And, yet. Well, I know that's correct. The idea.
That's a really good distinction, and I need to exercise better hygiene about not using that terminology. That's good.
We all have these strange relationships with our ego, because we're all egomaniacs, but we're all always going in the back of our head like, hey, settle down, you know, and we're afraid to name things sometimes because we don't want to appear to be this or that. It is, you've got a wonderful community of people that have empowered and made this possible for you. And you're aware of like the fear of, once I piss them off, they go away and everything falls apart. And so you're trying to balance that ground, but you don't need the false humility here. And I don't mean to call you false, but you know, embrace the idea. This is like, you know, when Francis Ford Coppola, you know, the difference between Zoetrope and Skywalker Ranch and Lucasfilm was very different. Coppola was like, I want to do this collective, and I want to do, we're all going to come together and do this. It fell apart. It fell apart because it needed one person making decisions, one person doing this. Lucas watched what happened to Zoetrope and said, you know, there's a lot of great ideas there, but I'm going to get rid of the problem, the collective part, and I will listen to people and make decisions and do this. It's his baby. And so this is your thing, and you want to make this accessible to everybody.
Nope. I think you're 100% right. And until we come up with an official name, I think TV Zegon in the chat has it right. And I will internally think of it as Skamwalker Ranch until a better name comes along.
I'm going to put Brushwalker Ranch there, you know?
Well, that's a good insight.
Look at this idea of the Founders Club. As like, because what have you, we started this conversation with, like, the problem is I'm talking about the same place in four different terms, right? It's Diamond Club Studios, it's Modern Rogue World Headquarters, it's the same building, right? And much of the same talent, but we've siloed for brand purposes all these different communities. The Founders Club can be that first nucleus, whether or not, before you even know what the name of the compound is, the Founders Club are people that, wherever we came from, we found this community because we wanted this thing to be a reality. And now that's your first kernel of the mixture of everything that you've kind of worked on, regardless of where the brand is.
Yeah, and I mean, just from a physics perspective, that nucleation point matters. Like absent a nucleation point, water never turns to ice. You know, you've got to have that one thing that everything forms around.
Yeah, I think you could come up with a name for the compound, and then you could give the studios a different name if you think the name is stupid, you know. But I think you just put a pin in that soon, because I think that's an important part of the narrative.
Yeah, and I totally agree. And if anybody wants to write us, just hit me up, brian@schwood.com.
Because, like, you could do – because it's part of that narrative is, like, I want this place to have its own narrative now, i.e. a webpage that could be, hey, this is what this is about. This is what's going on here. Another place – follow the story on email, whatever. Because also – you know, you've talked about, made very good cases about separation of people and their interest levels and stuff. There's a lot of people who are really, really interested in this, and now creating a channel of, this is my email list for this, for the compound. This, if when we're going to do events with tickets and other stuff, this is the place to go to find out. When we do seminars and stuff, a lot of that's down the road, but this will be the place to find out. And, you know.
And also, these kind of things, you know, I think we talked about this last week too, they happen very infrequently, right? Like, there is a lot of bias toward, I want to be there when it happened, because when's the next time a thing that I really like builds a structure for itself?
Has a chrysalis moment of all of a sudden it's like, everything changes. There'll be a before this time and an after this time.
Yeah, and I want to be a part of it. I want to be at the ground floor for something much larger.
And you know what we have now going on all the time on LA is that, like, we had sort of the rise and fall of the comedy club, and then you had some comedians getting in a podcast and other comedians like, oh, nobody's paying you to do that, that's dumb, you're doing a podcast. And then they're watching people like, you know, Joe Rogan and Adam Carolla all of a sudden turn this into empires, and then every comedian wants a podcast now. Now you're getting people want to buy tickets to go watch live recordings of podcasts, you know, and there are venues for that now. And a lot of times, like, oh, it's a comedy show, it's actually a podcast and stuff. And that is, you know, your venue. You have this venue now that needs to have its gateway to it.
Well, so. And also Airbnb, right? There's a lot of venue ops that, you know, be it visiting hours, recording schedule, when you want people, when you want strangers there, when you don't want strangers there, when they can rent out a room there. Like, there's definitely something like that's going to happen sooner rather than later, that you will need some kind of like central op.
One, and I think it's a source of revenue generation, is that, like, if I knew I could go rent this place once a week or something like that for my podcast, for my project, or something like that, I would be starting to think about businesses or things I'd want to do around it. You know, like, oh, do I want to go podcast from there? Do I want to go do this from there? And I don't know how much that fits into your plans or what you want to do, but it's the Skywalker model, you know?
Yeah.
And
Well, it's just one of those things where I know this much, that overpromising too early is a rough road to hoe. And so I like that we've made small moves so far, and everything feels conservative and responsible and safe. Even the slow unfolding of the, hey, does anybody want to, you know, donate money? And these are tangible benefits that we're certain that we can bestow upon everybody who participates.
Yeah. I mean, I want to know when I can rent it out to go shoot a horror movie on the grounds.
I mean, just show up.
All right. Go for it. Brian walks over there and sees a camera crew, like, what happened? Andrew just showed up.
Oh, no,
hey, guys, what's going on?
And bonus, if you get there soon enough, you'll have a befuddled Andrew Heaton being terrified by any and all moves as his bow tie falls off.
C-Spawn points out that there are the question of compliance standards to me, like ADA, liability insurance, etc. This is all private property, and so we have had to change insurance companies to a company that was more comfortable with the idea of us creating content on property. And as a matter of fact, the insurance company that we're going to insures a bunch of country music stars, people who own their own ranch and produce their own music live on their own property. So even though it's a different flavor, it was good to know that there was an ecosystem that we could plug into. As a matter of fact, today we signed the paperwork on all of that. ADA compliance is that is being worked on. But again, right now everything is private property. This is just our guest house that we make accessory use of a residence for. But of course, we want to see that evolve and get bigger and more interesting over time.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's seems like you've thought this through considerably. And
I mean, there's a reason it took over a year. Like, we closed on this place a year ago. And there's a lot of people who are like, oh, is this ever going to happen? Is it ever going to go anywhere? It's like, MRFers, this stuff takes time. There's a reason for that cliche about everything costing twice as much and taking twice as long.
Yeah, I guess it was about a year ago that we did the Simpsons podcast, right? And
yeah.
I came down for that because that was right after Dragon Con. I booked my flight right after that and came down to Austin. We did the Simpsons podcast with Gertz and yeah, wow. And that was, it was a hovel then. now it's actually functional.
Yeah, on the whole name front, like I do think that, like I said, don't run from it being, don't run for personalization. If you want to make it the B&B Ranch or B&B Studios or whatever, don't feel like everybody's going to be like, ah, we didn't know this was about what you were trying to do, Brian.
Well, it is funny, and I don't want to wallow or bemoan this too much, but I found it very curious that different silos have responded very differently to the solicitation of donations. A lot of our hardcore podcast fans have been nothing but excited about it. Even the Modern Rogue audience was very excited about it. But then just yesterday, we put a version of the video up on the Scam Nation podcast. And keep in mind, Scam Nation skews younger, so I think that's a big part of it. But it was really curious to see the few comments that were like, there was one that was like actively upset that it appeared that we were very successful, and somebody else said, yeah, I'm unsubscribing because it seems like they're wealthy, or doing well or whatever.
Like people who live at home with their parents and don't have to pay for anything are angry when they find out that things in the world cost.
But we always get that. I mean, we used to do a weekly show about merchandise we were selling in the store, and we always got that. Oh, and they're selling, it's like a commercial. It's, you know, like, hey, we always get that in those comments.
I don't charge for anything.
And
but Mom, where's dinner?
But I think the other thing is that Scam Nation has been a blind spot for the story of the property.
Yeah.
Maybe it's been mentioned, but or maybe it's been in those merchandising videos where it's been talked about. But in general, people don't, I would say, are not exposed to it there.
Yeah, I agree.
So maybe that's part of it, is in terms of like, oh, you've been doing this for a year. I could see that. But also, whatever, their comments on YouTube, who cares?
Right.
Schwedcott it is.
I mean, yeah, I would say this. I know, Brian, that your instinct is to hope that the perfect name shows up in the chat and you know it immediately, right? Or you get this awesome email and you're like, oh, this is perfect. But I'm kind of with Andrew. Like, I feel like this is something that you just need to wake up and say, this is my property and this is what I'm naming it. Like, because no matter what, everyone's going to fall in love with it. Everyone, it doesn't matter what the name is, everyone's going to rally around it. It just needs a thing. And I do think that it's maybe even a healthy therapeutic thing that you do need to plant your flag in.
I mean, if you held my feet to the fire right now, I mean, I think I'd lean towards the 7-acre Schwood. like that, that is the most fun to say.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a cute name.
Although Sloth Mark in the chat says, what about Brian Brushwood's Boner Barn?
I think they're going to get a little confused with BonerWars.com. I think there might be some brand
confusion. That could be a studio. on over to Brian Brushwood's Boner Barn on the 7 Acre Schwood.
You did, yes. You did literally build a gigantic warehouse that if the naming rights don't go, then the sitting title would be Brian Brushwood's Boner Barn.
But I...
Oh, the B4 Studios!
Oh, no. You're going to have the compound itself, the studios themselves, the complex of studios, the individual studios to name. Then you're going to have different buildings that you get to name. You're going to have streets or roads or avenues that you get to name. There is going to be plenty of opportunities to name. You know, when people go to, you know, I went to, you know, there is Disney World, which is then Magic Kingdom.
Right.
And then Epcot, and then Disney Hollywood Studios, and then Animal or whatever. Point is like you have all these. I would say that like if you like 7 Acre Schwood, 7 Acre Schwood, and it's getting to the 7 acres, the seven, whatever. Yes. 7 Schwood.
All right. Well, then I'll cozy up to that until unless I hear something better. But I think you're right. I think there's a time element where it's like, ain't no money. And I mean, and plus also we can love it dearly for a year and then figure out the perfect title and then run with that and then, sure, you know, officially change it.
Because I mean, like the value of having the perfect title 2 weeks from now probably doesn't outweigh having a good title, you know, in the next 48 hours.
Brian, you know that there's a difference between a community, a very active community, having guide rails enough that magic happens.
Right.
And then there's just endless people.
Just if something's too open-ended, nothing ever gets done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's where I think, like, by Andrew's point, like, this is just yours. You just need to – you need to know yourself that you own it, and you need to name it. And beyond that, like
– separate thing I like about – the name 7 Acre Schwood is that, and this is a non-insignificant part of the story, is that, you know, my wife's name is Brushwood as well. And this is a place where she wants to be able to make art and fire her ceramics and all that stuff. And yeah, it implies more out front ownership on her end as well.
Also, I've heard this, and this is unconfirmed, but I think your children are also named Brushwood. So
let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, if there are any two people who are going to tell you, Brian, check your ego.
Instead, there are three of you guys saying, no, more ego. No.
This is where you get to put it.
Because I know that, like, I don't want to, like, I know we don't like to use the word fans or this or that or whatever, but it's call it what it is. If the narrative is being impeded by your like, I don't want to get over it. Do
yep.
It.
Okay. Nope. That's a really good way to put it. And I'm gonna wrap my head around that. I do have to go pick up my kid from the bus stop. So if we could go to picks.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm gonna go retro with my pick. I took a game that I bought back in 2006 and reloaded it on Steam and started playing it again. DEF CON. Did you guys ever play DEF CON?
Oh, yeah. This is the nuclear war simulator.
Yeah, you guys remember War Games, where he was trying to play a global thermonuclear war. This is that game, and it's got a nihilistic bent to the attitude for it, because war is number one inevitable. There's no solution where you achieve peace. Two, everybody fires nukes at each other and everybody dies, but the winner is the one who dies the least. And so, and they lean all the way in, everything from the creepy minor key music the whole time to where they inject, like, you hear somebody coughing and you hear a woman wailing at one moment. It's really deeply depressing, but also freaking amazing. It really is the game Global Thermonuclear War, just like you saw on War Games. And I enjoyed it quite a bit.
It's basically like a real-time strategy game, but with Earth. And, you know, you move your ships and your troops around. And
yeah, so you begin at DEF CON 5, peace, ostensibly, and that's when you get so many resources to put so many things out, and what you want to immediately do is send all your ships to find out where the enemy's stuff is, and then you sort of predict on that, like, okay, I bet you're going to try this kind of things. So at DEFCON 2, you start putting up more of your defenses so that you can have anti-missile defense systems. Then you get to DEFCON 3, and then around, I believe, DEFCON 3 or 4, you get to start having active armed conflicts, but no nukes are on the table until DEFCON 1 happens, mm-hmm. and then it's just fire all your nukes, and then hopefully you've set everything up so that you can defend yourself. It's really haunting, and I think it's a wonderful game.
Yeah, I enjoyed it the little bit I played with it, but I feel like I had a little bit of a time with the real time strategy element of it,
mm-hmm.
Where it was either too fast or too slow, and this was a long time ago, so maybe fresh eyes would bear out a better strategy.
Even just going through the tutorial, though, I thought was pretty good, because the mm-hmm. nice thing when you're against AIs is you get to be the one person deciding to speed stuff up or slow it down.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas when you have other humans, there's always somebody who wants to go slower than everybody else, and you don't get to force them to speed up.
And they may not have had a tutorial when it launched, or I don't know. Yeah, DEFCON, that's a pretty cool game.
Yeah.
I didn't really watch anything or play anything. I was kind of
the Righteous Gemstones, you say? Yes, it was a great episode last night.
Still really good. And other than that, I watched football, which was depressing. So no picks.
I got a pick. So I mentioned for my Weird Things pick the health app, and I've been using this Nike Run Club app to track track me on the treadmill, and it's pretty cool. It's kind of a slick looking app. It's free. It has all sorts of they've got music playlists. It integrates with Spotify. They do the guided runs. They will set up personalized schedules and stuff. I'm not at say running speed right now. I can speed walk like a monster, but I'm not at running yet. My endurance is not up to that, but it doesn't seem to be very judgmental about that, and it's cool. You know, I think it's got all sorts of hooks into the Apple Watch and if you've got other exercise stuff, but I was just surprised that it was free with all the stuff that it has, because there are other apps out there that are like subscription services, and they do kind of, you know, we'll tailor your thing for you and give you all these audio guided things. But for a free app, it seems surprisingly full featured, and it really does look kind of slick, which is a small thing, but I think works nice. So
it's like you're describing yourself like you speed walk like a monster, and I was just thinking about like,
exactly. Coming to you, lady.
Now speed walk.
What do you guys have? You guys have a camera feed now? Come on.
It's amazing that this multi-billion-dollar company that sells athletic apparel would offer this thing for free. They're running their brand,
and that's part of it. Is, you know, they've got the buttons on the bottom, and the farthest one is the shop, so you can buy shoes and work
more
on your
stuff.
Kevin Hart tells you you did it when you completed a workout, which is
weird.
Yeah.
Hey,
weird.
It's Kevin Hart. Hey, man, are we still hating on Kevin Hart, internet? Are we still wanting to give him the real business?
One of the funniest lines, regardless of what you thought about the new Dave Chappelle special, I think one of the funniest lines in comedy history is that Kevin Hart is the nicest guy I've ever met. Kevin Hart is as close to perfect as I've ever met anybody in my life. In fact, he is precisely 6 tweets short of perfection.
If you're in the habit of sometimes like doing things like getting domain names and getting services and stuff, a company that I've been using a lot, which is kind of a very, you could tell it was started by people who are just trying to get things done, and that is DNS Simple. And DNS Simple is great because I pay a little bit more there than I do GoDaddy to register a domain name, but maybe a couple bucks more. But the services are super easy. You have like one click, like get your SSL certificates, one click integration with like things like Heroku and things like this, which probably most people won't care about. But it is a really easy to use system for like if you want to buy domain names and you don't want to have to jump through a lot of hoops and you want to quickly like I built a thing like and playing in VR, and the problem with VR is, like, if you're using a browser, is if you want to connect to, let's say, between your phone and your headset, and you need to copy paste things, it can be a pain. And so, you know, if you're in VR land, you know, headset land, and you have this physical device somewhere else, and you're not using some sort of desktop streaming thing. So I needed a thing the other day, and I'm like, I need a clipboard. I just need a clipboard that works between my phone and my browser so I can copy URLs and stuff. And I'm like, okay. I came up with the idea of a VR clipboard. So I bought VRClipboard.com and was able to put together – it just took me like – probably 2 hours to go from the idea to having the thing up and running, in large part because DNS Simple was super easy to buy the domain name, plug it into the server, and get the whole thing running. So DNS Simple is my pick because it's just, like, you build things really, really fast.
Yeah, that looks pretty cool. You know, because there are a lot of top level domain providers like our friends at domain.com, but when it's built and you know, kind of shaped specifically for, you know, developers, it's cool. It's a cool niche. dnsimple.com.
Yeah, dnsimple. Nice. Gentlemen, it's been after.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.